Well, there's actually a lot of research, but no one, well, I shouldn't say no one, but very few people have kind of synthesized just the body of material that's been produced since the 1960s. We don't really have any great syntheses of women's history in Latin America for classroom use. But we have a lot of individual monographs that might look at nuns, or they might look at presidents or market women. So we could kind of, you know, work with those, but not all in one book. We are missing a lot of research on certain countries. I would say even in the Caribbean, we know most about Cuba because the Spanish were really good at keeping documents and recording things. But I think that we need to get into some of the archives for, say, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, and other parts of Spanish Caribbean and Caribbean Rim to uncover their stories. Also, we need more about women in politics. Mm-hmm. I think past historians have described political history as female political leaders, but women participated in political life in a much more varied way. And so I think I'm starting to see in the 21st century more historians kind of look at the political activities of women just on the ground, and this would be the masses, you know, even before they had suffrage rights in the early 20th century.
Okay. While I was going through the book, of course, there are stories about prominent women in Latin American history, but there are also stories about ordinary women and their lives. Was that a deliberate thing on your part?
Yes, I'm very deliberate. I mean, I consider myself a social and cultural historian, and so we do want to look at the bottom-up view of Latin American history. But thanks to the varied studies that have come out really in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, so many historians and scholars are working on the working class women or indigenous women or women of color that I could draw off their books.
So how does the history change when we talk about the lives of common women? What would we not know had we talked only about privileged women?
I think we'd have such a skewed vision of what societies might have been like in the colonial period or later. I mean, it's so true that, you know, women of the masses, they didn't really leave any records. They weren't generally literate. So we have to look for glimpses of them in, like, court records or religious documents and that sort of thing. But what we wouldn't know is that all these women participated in very strong ways in shaping their society and even in their politics. I mean, they were litigants in court pressing for increased rights. And they didn't get suffrage until relatively late, but they expanded their rights in the 19th century in really legitimate ways. We just wouldn't have the full story.
Now, even though we have talked about how history almost always tends to get skewed in favor of privileged women, their role cannot really be denied. Women look up to them in some way or the other. Who do you think inspired generations of Latin American women?
I've thought about this, you know, long and hard because I think about lecturing on this topic. And I think even the woman who's considered the mother of the first mestizo, or mixed-race product of Latin American society, Malitzin, she was the slave girl given to Hernando Cortez before he conquered the Aztec. Now, she's been maligned in the historiography, and a lot of Mexicans believe that she's a traitor. They call her Malinche. But she's a woman who made calculated choices. I mean, she decided that she would show her brilliance after being sexually and ideologically conquered by the Spanish. And she became Cortez's lover, but also then a very prominent member of colonial society. Some say that she might have made the wrong choices and sold out her indigenous brethren. But I look at her as a woman who was very strong and could kind of forge a new life for herself in this new colonial society. Now, she's just one. If you look at the 19th century women, it's really these women that are in the courts kind of fighting for expanded rights under the civil codes and the new legislation that comes out in the late 19th century. Mm-hmm. They're also agitating for what we would consider feminist concerns quite early. You know, as early as the United States, they just didn't gain suffrage as quickly. But in the 20th century, if you think about Latin America, we think of revolutions and dictators and neocolonialism and those types of things. Women were really strong in bringing down those regimes and working for democratization. I really admire the mothers of the Plaza de Mayo. Mm-hmm. They were the grandmothers and mothers looking for their disappeared ones. And they took that really bold step to go out into the plaza and march every Thursday afternoon in the face of rifles and and arms and, you know, scary military people. But they ended up bringing down the regime and bringing down the dirty war. And this played out in Chile and Uruguay and Brazil as well. But then if you want to look at the elite women, I mean, we have mothers of independence just like we have fathers of independence. And presidents. Latin America's had six female presidents, six currently and past. And Michelle Bachelet of Chile is a heroine to me. She herself had been tortured and exiled under the dirty war led by General Pinochet. And then she would rise to be president of Chile as a divorced woman in a very conservative Catholic society. And Chile did quite well under her, and it's thought that she might return and run for re-election in probably 2012, I think, is the next election. So there are several women, and women behind the scenes that are nameless. You know, they work in urban social movements to bring utilities and health clinics to their poor neighborhoods. I mean, they're in the forefront. They're in the municipal buildings and offices, you know, trying to exert their citizenship. It's so important.
It said you need to know where you're coming from to know where you're going. What do Latin American women need to know and learn from their history that'll serve them well in their future?
Yeah, I think if you looked at, you know, Latin American women in Latin America and the Caribbean today, I mean, they need, I mean, I'm hoping that they're getting the history of their female ancestors in their schools. I mean, they've been so prominent. But just like the curriculum in the United States, we didn't really focus on our women for quite some time. If anything, I mean, I think the message has been is that they've never been victims. They've certainly been very active in kind of shaping their lives and instilling good values and kind of themes of economic and social justice in their children. And they really are on the forefront, especially the poor women, for agitating for benefits for their family. Now, Latinas in the United States, you know, some are, of course, undocumented and illegal, and they prefer perhaps to stay in the kind of shadows of society, and they feel like they can't come out perhaps and voice some of their concerns because of their status. But I feel like that they should be perhaps empowered by this huge legacy that they came from, and certainly not be shut out or remain voiceless in any kind of movement for their status here in the United States either.